It is a joy to be here tonight. Thank you so much. Brother John and his family has been hosting us this weekend, so thank you so much. I want to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. I'm very grateful to the Lord that He saw before the foundation of the world, that He saw me as one of His own. And I'm very grateful to that. I'd ask that you turn in your Bibles into two places tonight. First, in Exodus chapter 31. And if you'd hold there, because we'll come back to there, I want you to look up in Hebrews chapter 4. The message I'm going to bring tonight is one that I need to hear. It is one that I've been studying for not just this last week, but for the past couple of years. So if you look again in Exodus 31 and hold Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start in Exodus 31. The message tonight is going to be on the principle of rest. The principle of rest. I tell you, folks, that we live in a world that is shaken. There's no security in anything, especially in our dollar bill anymore. There's nothing left, it seems to be like. But let me share with you that Jesus Christ is always our hope. He is our rest. So let's look in Exodus chapter 31, starting with verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth shall surely be put to death. I want you to remember that section right there. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and he was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of the communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. I turn back over here to Hebrews chapter 4. And let's read 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he has said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we're so grateful to have it. Lord, where else would we be without your word? It is the only thing in this temporal world that we can cling to. For we know that your word is Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray you take the best that I can do tonight, Lord. Lord, let it be glorious unto you. May it show Christ in all things. Bless the reading of your word, dear Father, and the rest of this message in Jesus' name. Amen. The Sabbath issue has plagued many people. There's a great deal of confusion today. What is the Sabbath day? Many have reached various and sundry conclusions concerning the Sabbath day or days. There needs to be a cautious concern when we begin to inquire into the Sabbath or even into any other doctrines which are not so plainly stated in Scripture. First of all, the caution concern is to make sure that we interpretation that we do not violate the plain teaching of Scripture in other passages. And number two, We also need to be concerned that we do not develop a Pharisaical mindset. What do I mean by a Pharisaical mindset? If you'll look over with me in Matthew chapter 12. We will turn back to this passage a little bit later. But in Matthew chapter 12, see a dialogue between Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Pharisees. Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Have you not read that in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and were blameless? But I say unto you that in this temple is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meant, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." The Pharisees were known for their strict adhesion to interpretation of the law, even those interpretations that went contrary to the law. There are 5 points that I'm going to make tonight. Number one, we're going to look at a very specific case on Sabbath desecration. Number two, we're going to look at Sabbath as a sign. Number three, just how many Sabbaths were there? Number four, Sabbath, same meaning, different application. And then fifthly, the Lord's Day. We're going to look at these and then finally end up with an application. Let me make this clear as I get started here. Let me say this. There is no man, there is no group of men, there is no day, no weeks, no months, no years, no ordinance, or any group of ordinance that are or can be superior to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me repeat that one more time. There is no man, no group of men, no day, no weeks, no months, no years, no ordinance, or any group of ordinance that are or can be superior to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. One truth that we must be clearly enunciate is that Jesus Christ is the full and final revelation of God. If you read in Exodus 20, 31, and Deuteronomy 5, you will find there the law of God to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There are those in Christendom who have taken the term Sabbath and they have turned it into a term of legalism, ritualism, and ceremonialism. This is what the Pharisees and the Judaizers were guilty of. Of course, there were certain laws and regulations concerning the Sabbath day. But the Pharisees took those things and perverted them. They said you could not walk but it's so far on a Sabbath day. Hence, we get the Sabbath day journey. A Pharisee wouldn't even walk over grass on a Sabbath day in fear of his foot hitting something and then sowing the seed to fall to the ground, making him guilty of sowing on the Sabbath day. Then there are others who have taken the Sabbath day and have regarded it as no particular day. And therefore they have turned it into what is known as simply licentiousness. Now both streams are condemned in the Word of God. Well, let me share this. There is a principle in the Word of God in regards to the Sabbath. It is true we are not legal, we're not physical Israel, and it is true you and I are not commanded to gather sticks on the Sabbath day, but it is not merely those technicalities that God was trying to point out, but rather the principle that we're involved. Another thing that people have overlooked as they think about the Sabbath is the fact that the essence of the Sabbath was rest and not worship. The Sabbath is first and foremost rest, faith, and rejoicing. It did not have worship as its essence. Now, the children of Israel did worship, but which was particularly had reference to the Sabbath was rest. The principle of the Sabbath was rest. You will remember that Israel was in Egypt and they were slaves unto Pharaoh. There they cried unto God because of their affliction and because of their torment. And when God came down to Moses, and He said, I have heard their cry of the children of Israel, and I have seen their oppression, and I have come down to deliver them. Stop and think. In Egypt, Israel were slaves. They had no rest. They had no comfort. They had nothing. And God delivered them. And God gave them a command to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. The Sabbath, therefore, it was a sign of liberty. It was a sign of freedom. And it was a sign of rest. The Sabbath asserts the principles of rest under God, of liberty under God's law. It summoned man to obedience to the ordinance of rest in order to free men from himself and his work. It draws man away from himself and everything that he does. The essence of humanism, now listen, the essence of humanism is man's ability to try to save himself, to try to evolve himself, and control himself, his society, his world, and all things. There is no rest in humanism. There is no faith in humanism except for man's faith in himself. The Sabbath demonstrates that we need a Redeemer who will give us rest. A Redeemer who will give us rest. Our first point tonight, a very specific case on Sabbath desecrations. I want you to turn back over into your Bibles into Numbers 15. And as you are turning to Numbers 15, I want to make this point about what we're about to do tonight. There are broad principles in the Word of God concerning such things. And then in God's Word, there are very specific cases in how they're to be dealt with. And that's what we're going to look at right here. Turn in your Bibles again to Numbers 15. And we are going to read verses 30 through 36. Now as you turn there, I want you to be thinking of this question. Because we're going to answer this question at the end. And the question is this. Is there still the death penalty for Sabbath desecration? Is there still the death penalty for Sabbath desecration? Let's read in Numbers 15, 30 through 36. But the soul that doth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and the soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandments, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that had gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him, gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in a war, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him out without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. And the Lord commanded Moses. Again, I repeat that question. Is there still the death penalty for Sabbath desecration? The key verse that I want you to look at here is going to be in verse 31. The key verse that I dispatched concerning this specific case is not that he was just picking up sticks. That is not a sin, to pick up sticks. But picking up sticks in and of itself is not against the law. So why was this man put to death? Again, verse 31. Because he despised the word of the Lord and had broken his commandment. When God told Israel not to do any work on the Sabbath day, and here this man, when he had heard the word of the Lord, deliberately gathered the sticks, what he was doing in essence is this: despising God, and in essence saying, I will not listen to God, I will not obey God. This, my friends, is the heart of a rebel. You have someone here that despises God and saying, I will not have anyone rule over me. Let me repeat what I said earlier about the essence of humanism. Man, this is man's ability to try to save himself, to try to evolve himself, and control himself as society and the world and all things. And again, there is no rest in humanism. It is true that the Church of Jesus Christ no longer observes the Sabbath the way the Israelites did in the Old Testament. And it is true that the Church of Jesus Christ does not have the power or the authority to execute all those who violate the Sabbath day. However, the Sabbath principle is still with us. And I want to show you, indeed, what we have the Sabbath with us today, and in sense of the word, we have the Sabbath penalties with us today. Number two, Sabbath as a sign. Now let's take a little bit deeper look into Exodus 31. If you'll turn back over to Exodus 31, that's where we opened up this evening in the text, Exodus 31. We're going to look at verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. In other words, what God is saying is that the Sabbath principle, that when it's conveyed into a certain truth, a certain principle, we know that the Hebrew Sabbath was a sign. But what sign, but what was it about? What did they represent, teach, commemorate, and communicate? Let me share here what John Gill says on verse 17. If we're looking there at verse 17. Let me read verse 17 for you. If you look here in verse 17, again, we looked at 13, look at 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and He was refreshed. John Gill says this about 17. In like sense as the land of Canaan was given them for an everlasting possession, and the covenant of circumcision, and the ordinance of the Passover, and the fast of the Day of Atonement were forever. That is, until the end of the Jewish world and state at the coming of Christ, when a new world and a state of things began, which is to be understood figuratively after the manner of men who, ceasing from toil and labor, find rest and refreshment, but not really and properly. For as not labor and weariness and fatigue, so neither rest nor refreshment can be properly said of God. But this denotes His cessation from the works of creation, though not of providence and of the delight and pleasure He takes in a view of them. This is observed not as the foundation of this law and the reason of it being made, but as an illustration of it and as an argument, as a sign showing the reasonableness of it and the similarity of what God Himself had done. You will find it in the following verses in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. Ezekiel 20, verse 20. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. In both Exodus and Ezekiel, God states that the Sabbaths were designed so that they may know that He was the Lord and that He was the one who sanctified them. How did God become their Lord? How did He sanctify them? Let's look over in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. The Hebrew Sabbath or Canaan Sabbath commemorated the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. He redeemed them. He separated them. He chose them for His own. So looking a little bit deeper now in what about the Sabbaths and how many Sabbaths there were, that's the third point tonight, just how many Sabbaths were there. Also, going back to Exodus 31:13, he says, "Verily my Sabbaths." If you look back over there one more time so that you see it yourself. In Exodus 31:13. "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths," plural, "ye shall keep." John Gill writes on verse 13, "Not Sabbaths of years, as the seventh year and the 50th year, but of weeks, expressed by the plural number, because there are many of them in course throughout the year, no less than 52. And so the apostles used the same number. Now, contrary to what many people believe, the Hebrew Sabbath and the modern day Saturday are not the same. It is important to note in these passages that the word Sabbath is plural. Why? The answer is because there are more than the weekly Sabbath. The Lord states that the Sabbaths were assigned. In fact, it could be said that if you endeavor to keep one Sabbath, you are obligated to keep all the Sabbaths. God commanded the children of Israel in Leviticus 19:3, keep His Sabbath. And Leviticus 26:2, He again says, "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reference my sanctuary, I am the Lord." He emphatically, in Leviticus 18:4 and 5, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." The question for those who wish to keep a Sabbath is simple. How many Sabbaths do you keep? You see, the calendar of Israel was a solar calendar. Moreover, their religious year began on the same date every year, just as your birthday. Some references there is Exodus 12, verse 2, 6, 14, 17, and 18, and Deuteronomy 16:1, 3, 6, and 8. It is once every 7 years. There were other days that were weekly Sabbaths as well. And so the Hebrew Sabbath and the modern day Saturday are not the same. As you will study in the Word of God and you'll hear and read about the Sabbaths, you will understand that there were, number one, weekly Sabbaths. Number two, there were monthly Sabbaths. Sometimes these were known as new moon Sabbaths. Numbers 27:11-14. Now the new moon Sabbaths were different from the weekly Sabbaths. In fact, in the new moon Sabbaths, you could work, but you had to sacrifice. Now, on the weekly Sabbaths, you could not work, but sacrifice was demanded. And on top of that, number three, there were sabbatical years and the year of Jubilee. Then fourthly, there was the Passover, and the Passover was a Sabbath in the sense that it was the feast day in which no work was to be done. Five, there was fifthly the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sixthly, there was the Feast of Weeks, or what we, you and I may know as Pentecost in Leviticus 23. No work should be done. Seventhly, and finally, there was the Feast of Tabernacles, which were also lasted 7 days. Now, each of these days, and each of these new moon Sabbaths, and each of these years, each of these special feast days were known as Sabbaths of Israel. The question is, if we could identify each Sabbath of old Israel, should we be observing them? Now, when you study each of them, you will find the emphasis of these three things again. The first one was rest. Number two, the second was with faith. And in the third, rejoicing. Again, when you examine the Sabbaths that the Hebrews were to keep, it was evident that it was not primarily a day of worship, but rather a day of rest. You see here a pattern of weekly worship did not exist in the Old Testament as we see today. Yes, they worshiped daily, but their worship was with family and what they did in their family daily life. There was not a weekly day of worship. So the Sabbath was there to delight to the people of God. They were to be refreshed and bless the people of God. Remember, God gave them to Israel for a sign. Again, the essence of the Sabbath was rest. For instance, if you'll turn in your Bibles, let's look over to Mark now, chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I just want to bring this point to a close here about these Sabbaths. There were Sabbaths within Sabbaths, and weeks and months and then in years. This is all going to come to I'm going to bring this all together just in a moment, so hang in there with me. But here in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had with a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Who was looking in on him? The Pharisees. And in verse 3, he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved from the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Here we can see that life can be saved on the Sabbath day. Anything that preserves life or blesses life may be accomplished on the Sabbath day, since that day represents, and the redemption is the essence of the Sabbath. Again, Sabbath day is the sense of redemption, is one of the essence of the Sabbath. It was lawful, although there were a great many restrictions, to heal. It was lawful to help, and it was even lawful to help animals. Now, all the disciples were doing here, let me go back over here to again, we've already read this back in Matthew chapter 12. We saw here that when Jesus and them were walking through the field of corn, and the Pharisees saw it, they began to ask Jesus a question about, why are your disciples doing this? Now, all the disciples were doing were plucking the grains of corn that they may eat. Since, again, the essence of the Sabbath is redemption, rest, faith, and rejoicing, Christ is saying that it was legal and lawful to do what was necessary to preserve the body and rejoice in the Lord. Fourthly, Sabbath, the same meaning but different application. Here in the Bible, there are three particular rests spoken of. Number one, the creation rest. We know that one of God. Number two, the Hebrew Canaan rest, as we've just been reading. And then finally, there is the Christian rest. Remember, the Canaan Sabbath commemorated the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Was not the deliverance of the old Israel from Egypt a type? Did not the Passover picture Christ, the true Lamb of God? In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye were unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Listen to these questions. Is there a greater deliverance to commemorate in the new covenant? Was the sacrifice of Christ far greater than the sacrifice of all the lambs of Egypt? Is not the deliverance from the bondage of sin and death greater than the physical deliverance of Egypt? Was not everything that happened in the Old Testament types and shadows? Why would we celebrate the type and the shadow when we have the fulfillment and the reality in Christ? It would be pretty silly for me to have a picture of my wife when she's standing right there and kiss that picture when she's standing right there beside me. The whole book of Hebrews demonstrates this same truth. Why would anyone go back to types and shadows when Christ, the reality, is standing here before us? John 1:17 declares, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ is the fulfillment and full manifestation of grace and truth. Does Christ have the authority to dispense with or even change the Sabbaths? Listen to what John Calvin states. He declares that he has received authority to exempt his followers from the necessity of observing the Sabbath. The Son of Man, he says, in the exercise of his authority, can relax the Sabbath in the same manner as other legal ceremony. This is true. He may relax it or change it. He is Lord. He will do whatever he wants to do, what is right and holy. It does not matter whether man agrees or disagrees. He is Lord. We are taught very, very clearly, again in Matthew 12, 1 through 5, that Jesus Christ is Lord over the Sabbath. He allowed the priest to work and not violate the Sabbath. He did not condemn David for eating the hallowed bread. And certainly he may do as he pleases since he is Lord over the Sabbath. Now the creation rest was the rest that commemorates the creation of the world. But it is the Christian rest that commemorates the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it commemorates the finished redemption of our Lord. Now, again, here is the broad principle. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Then, here is the specific case. The man gathering sticks is put to death. Now, what is the application for the day? The principle of the Sabbath stands as well as the penalty for its violation. Remember I told you before that the essence of the Sabbath is rest. Now I want us to turn back over into Hebrews chapter 4. Because everything that was of the Old Testament is a shadow and type of everything that is in Jesus Christ as we see. In Hebrews 4, I'm going to point out some very specific things here. Again, let's read Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 1 says to enter into His rest. Verse 3 says, my rest. Verse 4 talks about the creation rest, commemorated and celebrated about creation. Verse 5 and 6 is about the Hebrew rest, commemorating the celebration deliverance from Egypt. Verse 8 talks about the Canaan rest, about Joshua, commemorated and celebrated victory and dominion over enemies and possession of the land. Verse 9 talks about the Christian rest, Sabbatismo, commemorates and celebrates the redemption and resurrection in Christ. Verse 10, we talk about His rest again, Christ's rest after the resurrection. And finally there in verse 11, that rest, the believer's rest in the present. Colossians 1, verse 18 says, and He is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. There is nothing and no one that has preeminence over Jesus Christ. All things are subject unto Him. He is King of kings and He is Lord of lords. in order to demonstrate it, it is important to note that one of the key words in the book of Hebrews is the word better. The word is used to demonstrate that which we have in Jesus Christ is the new covenant, is far better and superior to which believers had in the old covenant. Hebrews 1 verse 4, listen to this, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews 6 verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Hebrews 7 verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Hebrews 7 verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 7 verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testimony. Hebrews 8 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by which much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Are we getting the picture here? Hebrews 9:23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Hebrews 10:34, for ye had comparison to me in my bonds, and took joy the spoilings of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Hebrews 11:16, But now, they desire a better country. Hebrews 11:34, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11:40, God hath provided some better things for us, that without us should not be made perfect. And finally, Hebrews 12, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The old covenant was indeed glorious, for Scripture declares it so. But it also declares that the new covenant is more glorious. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 and 8, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? 2 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that was excellent. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. We are admonished to consider Christ Jesus, especially in His greatness and superiority over everyone and everything. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Christ is far superior to Moses, and that He is the one who builds His house, and was more faithful than Moses in everything. Now again, we do worship what we call the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, based on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth commandment is the only one of the ten not repeated in the New Testament. Why? Because the old shadows or types have vanished now that we have the reality. Christ instituted a new day, the Lord's Day. Fifthly here, the Sabbath was a sign that salvation is of the Lord. Hebrews 9, 1 through 9, this teaches this, that the Sabbath taught God's sovereignty in salvation. Remember, Sabbath means rest. Matthew 28:1, at the end of the Sabbath. Let's turn there real quickly. Matthew 28, verse 1. Here our Lord is resurrecting here. And is made alive. Matthew 28, verse 1. Follow me here. In the end of the Sabbath. We see here in the end of the Sabbath. As it draws, as it begins to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. There in verse 21, there's that little word there that means first. Number one, as it begins to dawn toward the first of the Sabbath, means the first one. Turn over here now to Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and of Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. That word first right there is what I want to point to. That in the Greek means protos. Means protos. For those that understand anything, that means prototype. It's a new order, the first of a kind. Means that Jesus Christ is the start of who the Sabbath really is. John 19 and 30 and Mark 16, 2, rising early on the first of the Sabbath. Mark 16, verse 9, the first of a kind day of the Sabbath. Luke 24, verse 1, upon the very first day of the Sabbath. John 20, verse 1, the first day of the Sabbath, which is representing the old order had passed away and the new order had begun at the resurrection. Turn over with me to Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a what? A shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. God states that the old holy days, new moons, and Sabbath were a shadow. The Greek word there is skia, which means image, an image cast by an object and representing the form of that object. How do you get a shadow? A shadow is caused by an interception of light. Who is the light of the world? Christ is the light of the world. His reality and His substance simply cast the shadow of the truth in the old covenant. He was and is and always has been light, truth, and reality. It should be no wonder that He is the real Sabbath, as He is everything else. Listen, folks, He is our high priest. He is our tabernacle. He is our temple. He is our altar. He is our light. He is our Passover. He is our showbread. He is our God. The old order has passed away. A new order has been established. The old way of worship in the old covenant was vanished. Everything is now new in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8:13 declares, in that He saith, a new covenant He hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Hebrews 10, verses 8 and 9, above when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure in them which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I will come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He might establish the second. So coming back to the question that I started off with, so what about the death penalty for violating the Sabbath? Has it been done away with? No. God is the one who executes it. What will happen to those who refuse to rest in Christ's finished work? Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just as the man in the Old Testament disregarded the Word of God, that's the same thing that we see here. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. And to you that are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. Proverbs 8:35-36 states that whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Those who refuse God's Sabbath rest in Christ will be executed by the sovereign God of heaven and earth. All those who hate Christ love death. The Christian Sabbath is the Lord Himself. We meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, in commemoration of His resurrection and finished work. And only those who rest in Him will rest in eternal Sabbath. We not only rest in His salvation, but we also rest in His providence. Last place I want you to look at with me is in Matthew chapter 6. My family knows me to know that Matthew chapter 6 is one of my beloved passages that I always love to turn to. And as you're turning there, share just a little bit about who we are. We're just men. We're men of clay feet. Men we are called to gather for our families. And one of the messages that I first heard of Brother John was on the Father, and that the Father is the one who provides. It is His responsibility to do that. But it's us men that we are to gather and continue to work. That is our responsibility. But when you work and you work and you work, and nothing seems to start coming about, what do you do then? Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 6. First of all, for those that know Matthew chapter 6, right in there we do find the Lord's Prayer. I do want to read a portion of that. Let's look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Folks, when we pray that, are we really believing that? That His will be done in our lives? Can we rest in knowing that His will is being worked out? Can we rest in that? Let's look at verses 24 in that same chapter. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. As a man, as a leader in my home, as the provider in my home, that's very tough sometimes. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why worry? There are men that I know that are good friends of mine who are without jobs today. You could be on the verge of losing yours. We don't know. Is our trust in that paycheck we get every 2 weeks that keeps us faithful to the Lord? Is that our security? We sometimes see that, but is that real true rest? No. It's when there's nothing there and the Lord provides. That's true rest. Christ Himself, before the foundation of the world, provided for each one of His children. Everything. Everything from birth to death to eternity has He made for His children. Why do we worry? Let's pick back over there. Verse 27 again. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought of saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? All the things He just said. Let me stop right here. What is our duty? Men, what is our duty? Yes, our duty is to work. Yes, our duty is to provide for our families the best that we can. But our highest duty that we can do for our families is, men, that we continue to seek the kingdom of God. There's a promise here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the provisions that He just said would be added unto you. Then why do we worry? 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow take thought of the things of itself. Sufficeth unto the day is the evil thereof. We do fulfill our responsibilities and perform our duties, and then we rest in Him. We trust in Him to provide for us, to protect us, and to guide us by His divine providence. We do not observe our Sabbath one day a week, but we observe it 7 days a week. For each and every day we learn to rest in Him. And there is no area of our lives in which we do not rest in Him. We worship Him publicly on the Lord's Day in recognition of His accomplishment of salvation. When we gather together on Sundays, we worship. We are acknowledging that He is our true Sabbath and that we find rest in Him. Now, folks, again, and for those that the Lord has given ears to hear and eyes to see tonight, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is rest in Jesus Christ. We do what we do in faith and obedience, and all that we do, we trust Him, and then we just rest. That is one of the hardest things to do for any man. To do is to rest in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that in Jesus Christ is everything that we ever need. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ. For in Him we find our rest. Not just our rest eternally after this life, but Lord, even today we can find rest in Him. Lord, I pray that, Father, that I myself would continually to seek You in rest, to strive, as Your Word says, to enter into that rest. You are Lord, and You're even Lord over the Sabbath. And so thank You so much, Lord, that in You, in Jesus Christ, we can find that rest. We bless You, and we thank You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.